This is Stuart Moxham of Young Marble Giants, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. It's the first day of winter today, and it is cold, finally, after a very warm autumn. We're going to hear about the year in politics today on the WGXC Morning Show from Corinne Carey at our partner station WOOC. We will also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network, on air, in air, waves controlled, on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood, a stream runs through. This is the network, network, this is the news, this is the network, this is the news, this is the network, network, this is the news, this is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you. Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that as COVID-19 case counts skyrocket locally and nationally, Governor Kathy Hochul announced December 20th $65 million for masks, public awareness, and to enforce the state's mask mandate. Smaller counties can get up to $1 million and larger counties up to $2 million, Hochul said, to make sure everyone in New York is wearing a mask when in public indoors. But only counties that, quote, participate in the enforcement, unquote, can get the money. State inspectors will conduct spot checks to find out where masks are not being worn indoors. Several counties, including Greene and Dutchess counties locally, said previously they would not enforce the mask mandate because they did not have the money. Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro said last week that in his county, quote, we will not escalate tension or conflict or further burden our local small biz by allocating resources we do not have to this impractical and unenforceable measure, unquote. Now, though, Molinaro could get the funds for enforcement, but instead he has moved the goalposts, saying December 20th that actually his lack of enforcement is not a question of money, but whether it is, quote, appropriate, justifiable, something we can engage in, unquote. Molinaro makes that statement with many COVID-19 deaths in his county and 4.5 times higher infection numbers in Dutchess County than at the start of November. The current coronavirus count in Molinaro's county is similar to the end of 2020, even though COVID vaccines are now widely available. On December 20th, New York broke its own single-day pandemic case record for a fourth straight day, with nearly 23,400 new cases. And New York State's vaccinated health commissioner, Dr. Mary T. Bassett, tested positive for COVID-19 on December 20th. Hochul also announced on December 20th that 10 million additional COVID-19 tests are coming for New Yorkers, including 5 million before the new year. Hochul implored anyone gathering for the holidays to get a test first. Quote, if it can be done, unquote, Hochul said, quote, we highly encourage it for sure, unquote. Meanwhile, there were 63 more COVID-19 cases announced December 20th in Columbia County and 95 new cases in Greene County. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Sonia Moog reports for CNN, former President Donald Trump and the Trump Organization are under a civil fraud investigation from New York Attorney General Letitia James. So he filed a lawsuit in federal court in northern New York December 20th, asking a federal court to halt or limit her office's investigations. James' office, seeking to depose Trump January 7th as part of its civil fraud investigation into the Trump Organization. The lawsuit claims that James has abused her investigatory powers, targeting her political adversaries and attempting to advance her career. James is running for re-election as Attorney General. The suit claims, and I quote, since taking office, she has tirelessly bombarded him, his family, and his business, Trump Organization LLC, with unwarranted subpoenas in a bitter crusade to take on the president, end quote. James sees the lawsuit as Trump attempting to alter her investigation. James said in a statement, and I quote, to be clear, neither Trump nor the Trump Organization get to dictate if and where they will answer for their actions. Our investigation will continue undeterred because no one is above the law, not even someone with the name Trump, end quote. The investigation largely centers on whether the Trump Organization manipulated the value of its properties, reporting lower values to tax officials and higher values to investors and the public. Read more about this story at the CNN website.
Luke Parsno is reporting for New York State of Politics that outgoing SUNY Oswego President Deborah Stanley has been appointed interim SUNY Chancellor, effective January 15th, the State University of New York Board of Trustees announced December 20th. Stanley has led the Oswego College for 25 years. She replaces James Malotras, who resigned December 9th in the wake of controversy stemming from testimony into allegations of sexual harassment by former Governor Andrew Cuomo. Quote, SUNY has a long and rich history of providing students the opportunity and access to the highest quality education at our premier colleges and research institutions, and President Stanley is the right educator at the right time to lead this prestigious university system, unquote, said SUNY Board Chair Dr. Merrill H. Tisch. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
DeMola reports about three more deaths from COVID-19 in Albany County announced December 20th. That makes 18 deaths from coronavirus in December in Albany County. Schenectady County also reported one more dead from COVID-19 on December 20th. Meanwhile, Columbia County reported 57 more coronavirus cases December 17th. Greene County announced 97 new cases on December 17th. Of those, 54 were in correctional facilities within Greene County. The Daily Freeman reports that Dutchess County on December 19th had 1,696 active cases of the illness, 49 more than the total reported December 18th. That number of active cases is 4.5 times higher than at the start of November, with the current numbers similar to the end of 2020, even though COVID vaccines are now widely available. Mid-Hudson News reports that a case of the new Omicron variant of COVID-19 was discovered in Dutchess County. Governor Kathy Hochul said, and I quote, we must stay vigilant against the winter COVID-19 surge by taking the proper precautions against the spread of the virus. This is not March of 2020. We are not defenseless. We have the tools to protect ourselves and the vulnerable loved ones in our families. Get vaccinated, get the booster, and wear a mask when indoors or in large gatherings. Don't take a chance during the winter surge, end quote.
The Daily Freeman is reporting that four area bridges and culverts will be replaced through the Bridge New York program, which is allocating $216 million in funding for 109 projects statewide. The funding supports bridge and culvert repair and replacement projects that reduce the risk of flooding, improve the resiliency of the structures, and facilitate regional economic competitiveness, according to local officials. In Ulster County, $4 million will be provided to replace the County Road 54 bridge over the Beaver Kill in Balsam Lake Mountain Wild Forest, and $1.999 million to the town of Rochester for the replacement of the Boise Mill Road Bridge over Falls Mill Brook. The town of Red Hook will receive $1.6 million to replace the Sawkill Road Bridge, while the town of Catskill will receive $985,000 to replace the Game Farm Road culvert carrying tributary to the Kiskatam Brook. Awards through the Bridge New York program are made through a competitive process and support all phases of project development, including design, right-of-way acquisition, and construction. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Mid-Hudson News reports that New York is giving the Olana State Historic Site $1 million for a new visitor entry and orientation facility. It will be called the Frederick Church Center, and Assemblymember D.D. Barrett is claiming credit. Barrett said, and I quote, "Frederick Church is a singular historic figure who made his home here in our beautiful Hudson Valley and whose impact continues to be felt in the worlds of art, landscape design, architecture, agriculture, environmental conservation, and beyond," end quote. Construction is not anticipated to start until 2023 after the project goes through normal approval procedures. You can read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
Porcupine Soup is reporting that Questar 3 BOCES has announced the launch of a new agricultural science program to begin in September 2022. Quote, "We look forward to preparing the next generation of animal and plant science professionals to support these important economic sectors in Columbia and Greene counties," unquote, said Questar 3 District Superintendent Dr. Gladys Cruz. The program will be housed at the former Durham Elementary School building and will be open to high school students in Greene and Columbia counties, providing them with the opportunity to expand their knowledge of plant and animal science. The two-year program is based on the Curriculum for Agricultural Science Education, or CASE program, and will be split into two sections. In the animal science portion, students will study animal anatomy, physiology, behavior, and nutrition. In the plant science section, students will study plant taxonomy, reproduction, and pest and disease management. Students who complete the program will receive college credit through SUNY Cobleskill in preparation for careers in various fields, including food engineering, veterinary medicine, food science, and farm production management. The former elementary school in Durham is also home to Questar 3's Columbia Green Heavy Equipment Operation and Maintenance Program that launched in 2018. Current high school sophomores interested in the new program should speak to their school counselor. More about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 40 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 27. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 42 degrees. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 23 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM on Tuesday, December 21st. And it's the first day of winter, and Justin Maiman is celebrating the winter solstice on the Ginger Radio Hour at 10 a.m. on WGXC. At 11 a.m., it's time for Early Electro Mix, the show that features early compositions from electronic composers. Today, we'll hear from Suzanne Ciani, Paul Gredinger, and Gordon Mumma, among others. Then at noon, DJ Patty Boom is live from Cornwallville with the Vinyl Freedom Show on WGXC, followed at 2 p.m. by the General Noise episode of Noise and the Megacity, and then Maya Erstad is the featured artist on the Radio Art Hour at 3 p.m. on WGXC. At 7 p.m. on WGXC, Kimberly Irwin hosts Race Talks, and she's got interviews with Bill Hughes and Jake Walther, both local political figures. And at 8 p.m., Johnny Sturman and Carmen Borgia beam in from Greene County, from Catskill and Lexington, on the Ukulele's Unleashed show. And then at 10 p.m., we're live from somewhere in Columbia County with Dan Seward and the Battlefield Earth Show on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
All day on Friday, December 31st, tune in the best music of the year as WGXC counts down the top 100 songs played on WGXC in the past year. Tune in beginning at 1 p.m. and taking you all the way through midnight and beyond with the top 100 songs on 2021 on WGXC 90.7 on Friday, December 31st. Tune in hourly reports from NORAD on Santa's progress around the world on Christmas Eve, Friday, December 24th, on the radio at WGXC 90.7. At the top of every hour, we'll hear a report from NORAD as Santa circles the globe, handing out presents on Christmas Eve. That's on the hour at WGXC 90.7, Friday, December 24th.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, December 21st. Early on, we see on the thermometer in Bull Run, it's 25 degrees. Over in Norton Hill, it is 28 for our morning range. We have a mild day ahead. Winds will be gentle. Sun will be poking out most of the time. And a high of 42 is expected at 1 p.m. Overnight, temps fall to 26 degrees. Tomorrow gets a little windier, but also gives us a high of 44. Low 20s overnight takes us into a Thursday, which will be mostly sunny, but only reach a high of 36. Friday, we're looking at a dusting of snow and a high of 38. Saturday is looking wet so far, so stay tuned as it comes into focus. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:19 a.m., low tide at 10:25 a.m., high tide again at 4:07 p.m. and low tide again at 11:16 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 38 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:13 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:16 a.m. Looking way up, we see an incoming coronal mass ejection is due to cause magnetic storms on Thursday. Solar wind speed is currently 626 kilometers per second at 15.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 2 megahertz during daytimes and fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 115. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephen Merritt of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is a red alert. Please remain calm. every precaution will be taken for your protection. Keep your radio tuned to this place on the dial throughout the alert period for information. Telephone service to your home may be cut off to permit military and civil defense authorities to carry out vital operations. Take shelter in your basement or in your nearest shelter area. If you can plug in your radio in the basement, take it with you. Use a portable radio set if you have one. Otherwise, turn up the volume of your radio so that you can hear it in the basement. Keep calm. Don't lose your head. This station will continue to stay on the air throughout the alert period to bring you authentic information and official instructions. Refuse to listen to unauthorized rumors or broadcasts. This is your official broadcast.
In accordance with the authority vested in me, I hereby declare a emergency to exist.
Poughkeepsie's Joe McPhee cleared out a closet to record his 2021 album, Route 84 Quarantine Blues. This is the song Improvisation for the End of COVID.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Okay, Gumdrop, ready for my booster shot of Ho-Ho-Ho-Derna. Give me that jolly jab.
You should be chock full of Santa bodies now, boss.
Wonderful. Now I'm all set so long as the virus never mutates again. No time for side effects. I'm off to certify the naughty and nice list in the Klaus of Representatives. It was in these hallied halls that Jingle Washington signed the Christmas Constitution and first uttered those famous words, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Oh, son of a Grinch!
Jingle bells, where is JFK?
Junior!
Santa is a lizard man, it's time to stop the sleigh! Hey!
Oh no, it's those chestnuts from Scrooge-a-non!
They're protesting against you putting them on the naughty list!
Well, this isn't helping their case.
Yeah!
That's two hot mugs of Christmas cuckoo. Rudolph!
The snowstorm is coming, Santifa!
You're in Scrooge-a-non now? Your nose so bright is meant to guide my sleigh tonight.
We're stopping the sleigh!
Rudy, we're family.
Don't listen to him, Rain Man. His people wouldn't even let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. He's not your real dad.
Well, obviously. Rudolph, your mother's going to be so disappointed.
Facebook is my mother now. Stop the sleigh!
And now, to certify the final naughty and nice tallies, I yield the floor to the chair of the list, the Honorable Kathy Claus.
Thank you, Santa. I shall first call on the elf on the shelf from the great state of Maine.
The elf on the shelf from Maine declares 657,000 nice. Yeah. And 270,000 naughty. Yeah. Lobster.
Madam Chair, the tally matches the list. Check once, twice. May my sack be filled accordingly. They're what?
Breaking news. I'm here at the North Pole where a Stop the Sleigh rally is underway. And it's being whipped into a frothy nog of madness.
Hello, maniacs! I feel your rage! You've been put on Santa's naughty list for too long! Well, I too have been on his naughty list ever since the day I slapped my way out of the womb. And today, with your help, all of us are gonna finally get my present.
Oh, that guy. The one who always asks for porn and soup.
I got a question for all you know. Just who exactly is writing that list in there? The liberal media wants you to believe it's Santa. But Scrooge and all knows the truth. Behold!
That's good enough for me.
Anagrams can't be wrong.
Now, my fellow Parappa-Pump Patriots, let's go lock Santa up in imagination jail with my arch-enemy Big Bird and bisexual Superman. Do it for the Lizard Man and Horse Bill and Jeffrey Epstein's ghost. Whatever else we all believe in, just get my present, lunatics.
There you have it, a reckless campaign of Christmas information now ending in a full-scale tinselrection.
Oh,
it's your boy, Rick. I'm inside Santa's workshop, here to restore honor to the list. And while I got you, don't forget to visit Rick's World of Wild Reptiles over on Route 9. $5 off all the regular snakes with promo code I Watched Rick's Crime.
I got the sack. This thing's magic. It'll give you anything you can imagine in your wildest dreams. What do you want?
Vape pen.
Vape pen.
Vape pen right here.
Vape pen for me.
Okay.
Let's go. Everyone into the panic chimney.
Santa! I've never seen people this naughty.
They're not just naughty. They're neo-Nazis. Kathy, we must protect the list.
You head to the chamber. I'll bake these rioters a fresh batch of Christmas whoopers. Ow! Who's hungry for seconds?
The list.
I told you, fate of the flames of a deluded, bloodthirsty mob had no bad consequences. We got the list. I'm Santa Cruz.
Stop the sleigh.
Rudolph, to Cancun.
Where we glow one, we glow all.
Rudolph, no.
Now we say who gets all the presents. So let the will of the people finally be done. Ted Cruz, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz.
What was that? It's Santa! He's got a Christian space laser!
Get him off! He's too heavy!
Suck your own sack, Santa! Where'd he go?
Ted? Get off my sled. Now, Margaret?
The TV fat man! Or the venison burger gets it!
I'm on your side.
Marjorie, please, don't kill Rudolph. You're better than this. Well, actually.
I just want my present. I'm a nice girl.
Santa!
Rudolph, with your nose so bright.
Let me guide your sleigh tonight.
This landing's gonna be a real nutcracker! The list is no more! We control Christmas future! Tell us, oh Scroogeadon! How shall we fulfill your sacred prophecy now?
Scroogeadon says to poop on stuff!
Yeah! Oh Scroogey One! Then I am your humble instrument! Aid me, Tactical Taco!
Oh my god! We killed Santa Claus!
Awesome! Enough of this Scrooge nonsense! Rudolph, are you okay?
I am now, Santa.
It's good to have you back. Now, as for the rest of you, just what were you hoping to achieve here today? To kill Santa Claus? Well, you can't kill Santa. Because Santa is a story. A story all of you believed as children. The story of a group of powerful beings working together to be nice. But for some reason, when you grew up, you started believing in powerful beings working together to be naughty. I mean crazy naughty. Eating babies in pizza parlors naughty. Well, I say, if you can make up a story outlandish enough, to believe the worst of each other. Then maybe you can make up a story just crazy enough to believe the best. And I've got one right here. It's the story of how Santa Claus amended his process for 1 year to reflect what he believed people could be. Madam Chair, let us resume the ceremony.
I call upon the elf on the shelf from the North Pole.
The elf on the shelf from the North Pole declares, this year, 0 naughty, 100% nice. May my sack be filled accordingly. But you guys are still going to jail.
That is a good story, Chris.
Hey, I got a shiv.
Merry Shivmas.
But Santa, the sleigh is completely fixed. How are we going to deliver the presents?
Not to worry. Santa made his own wish this year. To beat Jeff Bezos in the space race.
Santa, have you noticed this spaceship looks like a giant...
Snowman! It's a snowman, nothing else.
Merry Christmas to all.
And to all. You know what? Let's blur the spaceship, Jimmy.
Hey, jingle bells, wait for day of game. Santa is a lizard man, it's time to stop the sleigh.
Hey, jingle bells,
cannibal the balls.
We will not get the shot, it gives you giant balls.
Scrolling through the tweets, some unhinged nutjobs post. Learning Oprah eats babies on her toast.
Ooh.
Vaccines give you gills and drive your sperm away. Try to get those horsey pills, but doctors told me nay.
Hey, jingle bells,
you have been misled.
Bigfoot's ghost laid 5GX inside Mick Jagger's head.
Ouch!
Jingle bells, evil spells, conjured by Bill Gates. We've got psychopathology that we should medicate.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, December the 21st, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. The $1 trillion Build Back Better Act in peril after Senator Joe Manchin said this weekend he won't support the social safety net bill. Our Emily Scott reports, preparing for what is next, economic justice advocates say guaranteed income could reduce financial stress for families.
Magnolia Mothers Trust in Jackson, Mississippi provides guaranteed income of $1,000 a month for 12 months to at least 100 low-income black mothers. Aisha, a mother of three, says receiving income from Magnolia Mothers Trust, along with the monthly child tax credit, has been life-changing.
Once I became a part of MMT, it brought in extra income for my family, and it has been a great deal of help. I don't have to worry about, you know, buying household supplies, or if I'm going to have enough money in my savings to cover the bills for the month.
Manchin has been critical of the child tax credit, which would be extended another year through Build Back Better. The IRS informed lawmakers the bill needed to be passed by December 28th for child tax credit payments to go uninterrupted in January. I'm Emily Scott.
88% of moms in the program were able to save money for emergencies compared with 40% at the beginning of the year. That's according to the Magnolia Mothers Trust. Meantime, the Washington Post reports Senator Manchin last week did make the White House a concrete counteroffer for its spending bill, saying he would accept $1.8 trillion to the package, including universal pre-kindergarten for 10 years, an expansion of Obamacare, and hundreds of billions of dollars to combat climate change. That's according to three people familiar with the matter. But the Post reports Manchin's counteroffer excluded an extension of the expanded child tax credit the administration has seen as a cornerstone of Biden's economic legacy. A petition from the group Secure MI Vote is aiming to circumvent Michigan's regular legislative channels and pass laws that would restrict many residents' ability to vote.
Lawmakers this year passed changes to the state's voter ID laws, but faced vetoes from the governor for requiring absentee ballot requests to include photo ID and removing the option for voters to sign an affidavit attesting they are who they say they are. Christine Schlitt with the League of Women Voters of Michigan says if the petition can get the equivalent of 8% of the turnout for the most recent gubernatorial election, the legislature may be able to do it on its own.
If they do get the 340,047 good signatures, then the legislature can simply adapt it. The governor will not be able to veto.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer and 16 other governors recently urged the U.S. Senate to pass the Freedom to Vote Act. I'm Lily Volke reporting.
This is PNS. Minnesota is still grappling with the impacts of opioid use. An emerging effort aims to provide CPR training in marginalized communities to prevent loss of life.
State health officials recently announced that Minnesota saw an 18% increase in non-fatal overdoses during the pandemic, fueled by opioid use, while adding that the spike mirrors fatal overdose data. On the prevention side, the American Heart Association is working with partners to recruit 600 community CPR champions in high-risk communities, mainly on the east side of the Twin Cities metro. White Bear Lake Police Captain Dale Hager says it gives local residents the power to save the lives of those close to them.
Let's get the average person who has a basic knowledge of first aid trained to train their community members and how to pull somebody back from a potential opioid overdose.
The American Family Indian Center in St. Paul is among those who signed on as volunteers. In Minnesota, members of the indigenous population are 7 times more likely to die of drug overdose than whites. I'm Mike Moen.
Children's advocates say they're hoping for major changes to Virginia's foster care and child protective services system in the new year. Recent investigations have highlighted a strained foster care system. It's largely due to the opioid crisis and a lack of resources. Marissa Sanders directs the West Virginia Foster Adoptive and Kinship Parents Network. She says while state lawmakers recently formed a bipartisan child welfare caucus, she's seen little movement on the issue.
We have a staffing shortage in CPS, which is common. One of the best ways to alleviate that is to reduce the number of kids coming into care. And in West Virginia, we have the highest number of children per capita in care of any state in the country. And we remove more children than any other state per capita.
Finally, Eric Lattice tells us advocates for independent rural farmers are urging state lawmakers to beef up mom-and-pop meat processing and storage capacity using the American Rescue Plan dollars.
Jonathan Hlodek with the Center for Rural Affairs says local producers need alternatives to JBS and Tyson, and investing in Main Street lockers will help rural economies recover from the pandemic's economic fallout. It will also help more families across the state access humanely raised high-quality meat.
And you know where it came from. When you're buying hamburger from Walmart, you do not know what animals were involved with that. You don't know what countries they're from. And when you buy from a local farmer, it's going to be cost competitive, and you get the satisfaction again, and support in your local community.
Hlodek's group is working with State Senator Tom Brandt to deliver investment recommendations to Nebraska's Appropriation Committee in the upcoming session.
That's our news for now. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. We're heard on interesting radio stations. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
This is from the 2010 album recorded in Troy at RPI. This is the decisive moment from Scanner, Matthew Shipp, and the Postmodern Jazz Quartet from the album Blink of an Eye.
Thank you.
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
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 listening, you're listening to 90.7
90.7
WGXC Acre, Catskills,
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 today,
East Durham,
East Durham,
East Durham,
East Durham, East Durham,
East Durham,
East Durham,
East Durham,
Catskills,
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 Catskills.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
It's Andrea Cunliffe here with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. With us right now is Corinne Carey, political producer with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, which is a part of the Sanctuary for Independent Media, the operative word independent. What got you involved with reporting on politics?
Well, I've long been a fan of the Sanctuary for Independent Media. When I was working with the New York Civil Liberties Union many years ago, I collaborated with folks at the Sanctuary to hold a film screening on an issue related to solitary confinement. And my relationship with the Sanctuary has just grown since then. And I remember I was asked to come in and do an interview about an issue that I was working on air live when we were able to be in the studio together in the before times. And someone in the studio said, "You've got a great voice for radio." And I guess I had always fantasized about being a children's book reader as a different career. And so I thought, radio host. And so I came in and I hosted a few. And then I started getting really fascinated with the idea of exploring things that I was interested in and that I didn't understand about our community. I guess doing double duty by helping to explain it to others while I was learning. So I just started producing segments on things that were complicated and that I thought we all should learn a little bit more about.
But your focus, certainly in the last year, was really strong on politics and certainly local politics. Did you gravitate to that for any particular reason?
Well, there was a need, first of all. You know, I do a lot of work with the state legislature, and I am constantly surprised by the fact that my very politically savvy friends have no idea who represents them in the New York State Assembly. They have no idea who represents them in the New York State Senate. Most of them, I would say. And even more disturbing is when you sort of leave those circles of politically savvy people, I found that there were just regular everyday New Yorkers who don't even really understand that we have a state legislature and what they do. And so this notion that all politics are local became really real to me when I started trying to make change at the state level and ask the folks around me to take action, and they didn't know who to target. They didn't know who to call. And so that maxim of, you know, all politics local was really transformational for me. I thought, well, who gets to be a state assembly member? Who gets to be a senator? It's the folks who work their way up through the ranks. And so if you're thinking about how abortion rights are protected in New York, for example, do you know who's making the decision about that? Your state senators, your state assembly people. And where did they come from? The local school boards, the town councils. And so if you're not paying attention to who's making their way up the ranks, you end up with, you know, folks that we've got. And sometimes they're not the folks that should be representing us.
We need to talk again about what we can do politically, and we'll go there. But I'd like to just quickly touch on what's happened in this past year. Has there been any evolution, any changes, anything that has, well, inspired you to have hope or disappointed you?
A little bit of both, I have to say. I mean, I think it's been very exciting, the new folks that have entered the political arena. So I guess it was 5.5 years ago, maybe, when we saw a change at the federal administration that really horrified more than half of the country. And women donned their pink hats And they did more than that. They started running for office. That was incredible. The number of women that became politically active, the number of women that put on not just the pink hat, but the suit and went out and started running for office was incredible. The same thing started to happen with the Black Lives Matter movement. Young, politically active people who maybe had once eschewed the system and said, you know, I want no part of it, started to realize that they needed to enter the political arena. And so this was another transformational moment, particularly in Troy. We saw some incredible, strong Black women candidates put themselves forward at great personal cost to represent their communities. And that gives me a tremendous amount of hope. What's been disappointing to me is the infighting to the left of the political spectrum. I think that it dooms us when we attack one another, when we don't work collaboratively, when we don't learn from one another, when we don't listen to one another. And I'm talking about everyone. Then we end up with what we have now in Troy, which is a Republican city council. How did that happen? The only explanation from my perspective is that people weren't working together towards a common goal. So that is disappointing. It makes me worried for the future of Troy. Who's going to take over the mayor's seat when he leaves? Who's being groomed for that? Groomed sounds like a terrible word, but who's being brought up through the ranks and supported to gain the expertise and the knowledge and the allyship that they need to take on such a critical role? So, you know, there's a lot of hope that I have and a lot of disappointment at how it is so easy for folks on the left, and I consider myself one of those, even though I try very hard to be very objective in my reporting and give everyone the benefit of the doubt. I just think, you know, we're really dooming ourselves when we're not trying to work collaboratively and raise one another up.
Well, there's two questions here. So I'll start with, what do you think we can look forward to next year? What do you think we should be concerned about? What do you think we should strive for? What do you see happening in politics?
Well, I think that we've got to cover more opportunities for people to get involved. When there's a city council hearing, when there's a decision before the council, and we, you know, progressives are in the minority, if progressive citizens don't show up and voice their very real concerns, it's going to be very easy for a Republican majority to pass policies, laws, to make decisions that are not in the community's interest. And so people need advance notice of when these decisions will be made. They need to understand what the opportunities are for them to weigh in. They need the expertise to understand how to speak about some of these issues. What are the implications? What are the facts? And then they need to know soon enough in advance so that they can plan their lives around going to a hearing. These decisions are going to get made whether you participate or not. But it's really hard when you hear about a terrible decision and you had no understanding about how to weigh in.
So that's, we've only got about 2 minutes left. So a quick question here is, how do we become more aware of that? Is it something that we should be doing at Hudson Mohawk Magazine?
Well, it is, but as you know, Andrea, we're a volunteer organization. I've got a full-time job and more than that. You know, other people are busy and it's not easy. I mean, the city of Troy does, I think, a good job of giving advance notice to concerned citizens about upcoming hearings, you know, of many localities. I think we do a pretty good job, but it really takes supporting independent media. You know, with all of these small, and this is a more macro issue, but with this, all of these small outlets being closed or gobbled up by bigger entities, independent media becomes so much more important. And unfortunately, our volunteer crew, while we do a good job, we can't cover everything. I wish we could. I wish I could say that I've got my eyes on that website and the, you know, the meeting announcements from the city clerk all the time, but I just can't. So I think supporting independent media in whatever way that looks like is critical.
So what do you think we should do? should we look forward to something wonderful happening next year, or is it all depending on how active we all become as citizens and get personally, politically involved?
Well, that's the thing. You know, the city of Troy is going to have some serious money to distribute, and decisions about where that money goes is really important. You know, I think there's a lot to look forward to. I think the mayor has done a great job positioning us for the next few decades. But we've got to be careful about whose hands those decisions are in and how those decisions are made.
Thanks so much. I look forward to 2022 with you as a producer, as a co-producer with us on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Thank you, Corinne Carey.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Next, we hear local music from Poughkeepsie's Joe McPhee. He took his saxophone into his closet during the pandemic quarantine and produced a 2021 album called Route 84 Quarantine Blues. This is the title track. Thank you.
Oh,